It's a three-stage learning. First stage is learning the difference between love and fear, learning the difference between when you're hurting yourself and when you're not hurting yourself, learning the difference between what's true and what's false. That's the first stage. That's what we're at now. Right. We're learning how to tell when we're choosing for pain and when we're choosing for peace. Yeah. Because we haven't known in the past that we wouldn't be doing it so much. Okay?
Right.
So I'm learning the difference between fear and love. Here's a good example. If it's love, I will not feel like I can lose. If it's love, I'm not going to be asked to give up the things that I love the most. If it's love, then I'm feeling greater about myself instead of smaller about myself. And if it's love, I'm not hurting all the time and complaining all the time and angry all the time. So I need to be able to tell the difference between love and fear. Okay, now the once I know the difference between love and fear, then I go to the next stage. And the next stage is to have a course of love. Then I can start really being taught about what love is and how I can live it and how I can express it and be in it. But I can't get to that until I can stop choosing for fear, thinking that it's love, choosing for pain, thinking that it's love, choosing for something that makes me miserable, but I thought in the beginning it was going to be something that made me feel good. And how many of you all have done that? We've all done that. You thought at the beginning it was going to be the best thing in your life, and then you go, where'd it come from? If you had known how to choose from the very beginning, you would have known better. Do you know that vision is nothing but recognizing the consequences of your action before you take them?
Wow.
When you're saying I want to have vision, you're saying I want to know the consequence of this action before I even do it. That's vision. When you're blind, you do everything backwards. And you judge everything by what happened in the past, which means you are walking backwards. And no wonder you bump into things and fall and hurt yourself. Because you're treating now as if it was your past. And you're judging everybody based on your past experience, which is delusional. First of all, in most cases, they're not even the same people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Don't judge me by your last boyfriend. I'm not your last boyfriend. I didn't do any of those things. So you're not being smart by looking at me in terms of him. All you're doing is calling out of me him. But then you go through the same thing again. But you're the one that tuned in on past channel. So here past channel is. But now, I'm really treating you really good, actually. Now, we're really having a lot of peace with each other. Now, I'm respecting you. Now, I'm acknowledging you. Actually, your experience of me now doesn't have anything to do with the person that you're experiencing pain about. Because I'm not giving you any pain now. So if you were to see who I am now, then you could have all the love that you're trying to protect yourself about. Isn't that deep? Isn't that deep? Love is here. Love is here. Love is here. Look at me. Love is here. No, I don't see you. I'm looking at him. You're standing right there, but I'm looking at him. I'm looking at her. Love is in every one of your lives right now, but you're doing this when it's standing in front of you. What you learned in the past, what you experienced in the past, what you believe from the past, what happened to you from the past, that's what you're looking at. Turn your head. Don't tell me you don't have the power to turn your head. Turn your head. It's a whole world already here, waiting to be seen, that's full of everything you love. Turn your head. No. This is a trick. There couldn't be a now. So deep. Finish this paragraph. Get the hell out of here. Oh my goodness. I have had enough of pain. I've had enough of seek and do not find. I've had enough of processing. I've had enough of explaining, pleading, begging, hoping.
Thank you.
Aaron, you had your hand up. What was it that you wanted to say, brother?
Let's see, about 10 subjects ago, you said, when I'm a crazy black man, I want you to remind me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, how do you like to be reminded in a way that you can accept?
The way that I like to be reminded in a way that I can accept is to see my craziness as my call for help and my call for love.
Yes. So in other words, by my example of just seeing that as a call for
love. And offering me peace instead of attack.
Right, yeah.
Or just hearing me without trying to fix me.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that anyone can do. It's just hear me without trying, even if it sounds crazy, just let me say it, let me get it out. Don't correct me, don't jump in and fix me, don't tell me what the chords would say. Don't ask me, how did I create that? Don't ask me, why did I create that? Don't tell me, you created that. That is attack. That is attack, that is not love. When somebody's in pain, you walk up and say, well, you know you created that. That is attack, and it may hit your butt. If nothing makes a person more angry than to tell them the truth when they're most in self-deception. The deeper they're in pain, the less they're going to hear, want to hear what you're saying. They're going to just need to be provided with a safe space for them to express what they're going through and what they're feeling, until they've expressed it so much that it's all gone. But if you interrupt them out of your feeling of threat because they're tapping into the stuff you're trying to hide from you, so you don't want them to finish what they're saying, if you don't do that, then behind fear is always love. Behind insanity is always sanity. Now I'm talking about expressing it. I'm not talking about them hitting you upside the head with a bat and you standing there taking it. I'm talking about they need to communicate nonviolently, no matter how intensely. Nobody's asking them to do it in a cute way. They can be looking like they're mad, foaming at the mouth with snot running out of it. It doesn't make any difference if you just be there with them and hold the space.
Yes.
Hold the space. That they're in pain, they're crying, they're calling for love, they're calling for help, they've forgotten that they're loved by God and everything real. Trust in them, believe that what's behind what they are afraid of is the real self. But that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to carry the ball with them down the field. What you do is you offer a place of love that they can return to when they are through choosing suffering for themselves. You don't stay there with them until they finish their choice for suffering. Because you'll stay trapped in relationships that make you miserable that way, which means you still want to sacrifice. Because anyone that you love, there it is no sacrifice. And if it's not, sometimes the best way you can heal with someone is to give each other enough space to see each other correctly. Because sometimes my perception can be so messed up that I can't see you. All I see is what I think is missing in this moment. And I don't even see you no more. I just see my fear that you symbolize. Or I see my love that you symbolize. So therefore I think I don't have love unless I have you. Which is another error.
Thank you.
Well, last sentence. Oh God, I'm so glad there's a limit to pain. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There is a limit to fear. There is a limit to pain. There is a limit to lack. There is a limit to attack. There is a limit to depression. There is a limit to sickness. Don't worry, it can't go on forever. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. I don't care how determined you are. I don't care how tolerant you are. I don't care how big your threshold is. There is no way you can hurt forever. The system isn't made that way. Love.